Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you on this evening, April 2nd, 2021. I am glad to see each one of you. I have been busy preparing for you, as well as the two presenters, the two special presenters for this evening. Others of you have been preparing as well through your prayers, your support, by thinking about joining this evening and indeed being with us this evening. And we are glad, each one of us is glad that you are here. I greet you in the name of Jesus. Some of you I know, others I do not know, but regardless of whether I know you or not, all are welcome. We are talking about Jesus on this Good Friday. And today, this morning, about 9 o'clock, the Holy Spirit brought to me, it was 9 o'clock our time when our Lord was crucified, 9 in the morning. And the sun went down it got dark 3 hours later, high noon. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus yielded up the spirit. And we commemorate that, especially on this day, Good Friday. Also, Passover, the lamb was slain. Jesus Christ, our Passover, the slain lamb of God. Today, God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry welcomes each one of you as we continue in our topic, our sessions on the 6 miracles of Calvary. This is the final, the third session of 3. We have been meeting for the last 2 Fridays with the purpose of mine of drawing nigh to God. He promised if we drew nigh to him, he would draw nigh to us. And during this season, this special holy season of the year, we especially want to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are all so thankful. I am so thankful that God laid on Jesus on this day. He laid on him my sins and my iniquities. And with his stripes, I am healed. And we thank God for that. I am looking forward to this evening. As you know, we have been talking about miracles. And we have had 6 presenters. Several weeks ago, we had 2 presenters, Sister Lily Holmes. And she spoke on the miraculous darkness, miracle number 1. Then after her was Pastor Demetrius Watson, miracle number 2. The rending of the veil. On last week, we were blessed to hear from Minister Jacqueline Reed as she brought to us miracle number 3, the miraculous earthquake. And then also miracle number 4, we heard from Reverend Dr. Don Vaughn, and he spoke on the miracles of the open graves. Tonight, we will be blessed to hear about these final 2 miracles in our series, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus, as well as the revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. As I have said for the last several weeks, these 6 miracles are based on a book that I read 30 years ago called The 6 Miracles of Christ, written by William R. Nicholson. It is important that I say that because I want to acknowledge, you know, when you borrow, quote, borrow, we are in a body, the body of Christ. But when we borrow something for someone else or use something that God has used someone to write or speak or say, we want to make sure to acknowledge them. This book was written by William R. Nicholson. And I encourage each one of you to obtain a copy of that book. You will find it a blessing. This is Good Friday, as you know, where we commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have acknowledged our presenters, and now let's go to our Lord in prayer, and then we'll go on a little further. Blessed God, we come before you on this Good Friday. We say glory to your name. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you. We cannot say thank you enough that you would so love the world that you would give your son and then lay on your son all of our sins and all of our iniquities. We thank you. And we thank you, Jesus, for not calling those 12 legions of angels, but you stayed there on the cross until sin's price was paid in full. We want to say thank you. We know it wasn't easy, Jesus, but we thank you that you did it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Salvation's price paid in full. And now we call on you, Spirit of the living God. We ask you to bless this evening, glorify Jesus, and bring glory to God the Father. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. We pray your blessings upon the internet system, the web, Zoom, and everything, Lord. We ask you to bless this evening to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I say good evening to each one who has joined us. Someone may have just joined us, and others no doubt will be coming. Our first presenter for this evening is Minister in Training, Karen Bowen. And I just recently met Minister Karen. I maybe became acquainted with her a year ago, but actually I know it's been a little over a year ago. Because last year, we know COVID was in full force and we were not able to gather. But she is a sister in Christ that I just recently met. And I am glad that God has brought her into my life. Let me tell you some more about Minister in Training, Karen Bowen. And she will be speaking on miracle number 5. She first of all wanted me to know, to God be the glory. First and foremost, Minister in Training Bowen prides herself in being a soldier on the battlefield for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She is the proud mother of 2 daughters. Her first job ever was helping to clean the church, and she was paid in full each first and third Saturday afternoon with lollipops and bubble gum. As time went on, she found herself teaching Sunday school to her peers when she was just around the age of 12. She also served as a delegate for and attended many Saturday BTUs, Baptist Training Unions. She has also served as a choir member, usher, church announcer, church secretary, trustee board secretary, church bulletin designer and creator, mistress of ceremony for various pastoral and church celebrations, president of deacons and trustee appreciation day. She has served in many capacities throughout the church. While she has selflessly served in many roles within the body of faith, wherever she has called home, from childhood to adulthood in North Carolina, Texas, Missouri, and Nebraska, her greatest role is having accepted the call to be a minister for the kingdom of God, a call according to his word in which he has equipped and justified her to serve. She is a firm believer that salvation is free. The middle wall of partition has been torn down one time for all mankind. She is a United States Army Desert Storm War veteran, and we want to thank her for her service. And she is a former master's degree level professional educator. Her favorite scripture is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We look forward to hearing what the Lord has given Minister in Training, Karen Bowen, to share with us on miracle number 5, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Let us pray. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight, thy Savior, my Redeemer. Amen. I first would like to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I also would like to honor any clergy that may have chosen and thought it not robbery to come out with us on this evening. I honor our fellow presenters who have worked tirelessly to bring this effort together that someone might believe. I also want to extend a special thank you to Sister Velma Sanders, who is my Sunday school teacher, as well as God's Word of Life, for making this opportunity happen. So on this evening, we will continue unveiling the story of the resurrection. Again, I will be presenting to you miracle number 5, the undisturbed grave clothes of Christ. For your listening and viewing pleasures, you may want to adjust your own lighting, and you may want to adjust your volume, as my volume tends to elevate. So please, for the ultimate listening and viewing experience for you, take care of those housekeeping needs. Let us make God's word come alive. Okay, Sister Velma, what's happening on your end there?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. We see your screen.
Yes, I'm not moving on my end.
And it's on multiple participants can share.
Should be only one sharing, I think. Okay, thank you. All right. We'll try this again then.
Yeah. We're gonna get it.
All right, thank you. Okay, so I went back to that again, my dear. One participant sharing. Do you believe that the sun refused to shine from the third hour to the ninth hour? Do you believe that the veil of the temple was rent in twain? And the earth quaked and the rocks split? MIT Karen Bowen presents Miracle 5, the Undisturbed Grave Clothes of Christ. Our pericope, or scripture, will be coming from John, the 20th chapter, the 6th through the 8th verse. It is a Good Friday. I will read the scripture for your hearing. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. I will take you back and forth in the scripture, as it's not appropriate to take one scripture and isolate it and not bring you forward to where that scripture actually began, or back. Let's start with the empty tomb. John 20:1. the first chapter of 20, where the story actually begins. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now, I really like Mark 16:1, where they actually tell you of at least two Marys that were present at the tomb. And I like to point that out because both of my grandparents' first name is Mary. So, of course, I would favor Mark 16:1. Now, the purpose of those ladies being at the tomb was because they were there to anoint the body, which was the burial procedure of that time. John 20, verse 2. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the sepulcher. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet did not go in. Perhaps he didn't go in because of what he saw. Or perhaps it was fear. But we know that Jewish culture believed that the sepulcher was deemed unclean. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there. What is it that astonished Peter? You know Peter, bold, cussing, fussing, sword swinging Peter. I think at this point, we would dare say Peter was at a loss for words. This leads us to the stolen body theory. Now, it is your responsibility as we move through parts one and parts two that you decide for yourself what is it that you believe. Do you believe the stolen body theory, or will you believe the resurrection? Let's first look at Matthew 28:11-14. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." Think on that for a moment. They went to the elders. They were given a large sum of money. They were told to lie. And they were guaranteed that their jobs would be secure. How many of us get nervous when a new person come on the scene? Let's keep right on going. So he says, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. So where is the body? Where is the body? This leads us to part two, the resurrection story. Well, let's back up a moment. As we see, Peter is speechless. He has a deer staring at headlights effect going on. And this is Peter. You know, Peter was a bold soldier for the Lord. So, let's look at what may have caused him to be speechless. The burial process, which was a Jewish tradition, that they did not embalm their bodies like we do today. Their bodies were prepared for burial with spices and perfumes and wrapped in linen cloth, okay? Much like we see here at the burial or resurrection of Lazarus. Now, we know that looking at this mummy-like figure, that it would be virtually impossible for any man to be wrapped this way and unwrapped himself. Even Lazarus, we know, could not come out of the grave clothes until Christ said so. And neither can we. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Now, if Lazarus was not able to loose himself from the grave clothes, neither will you nor I. We're going to need Christ to call us out of that darkness. We're going to need Christ to call us out of that cold tomb. We're going to need accountability partners here on earth to help us take off our grave clothes. Now, I didn't come to talk about your clothes. You're not worthy. Sorry, Buster, it's Easter. I'm talking about the resurrection of Christ and his work and what he can do for those who believe. Now, let's also take a moment and stay in this graveyard for a little while. Now, Dr. Vaughn, this is the only time I want to hang out at a graveyard, okay? Don't do graveyards. But you know what Christ showed me? He said, look at a graveyard. What do you see in a graveyard? We see the grave clothes before they go in, okay? But afterwards, we see tombstone. But he told me to see a solid rock, because every time you look at that tombstone, let it be a reminder that Christ is the solid rock, and he is the solid rock for the believer. So what else do we see in the graveyard? We see hope, but only for the believer, because on that great getting up morning, only those who died in Christ first shall rise. Now the others, they're going to rise, but I'm afraid it won't be the same resurrection as it will be for the believer. Amen. Verse 7. That napkin was crossed across Jesus' eyes, remember? So verse 7 says, in the handkerchief that was lying across his face, lying with the linen clothes together, folded in a place by itself. Think on that for a moment. I just told you about the burial process. How that body is wrapped like a mummy? Those arms are folded across the chest? How did this happen? I want to challenge you with another question. Was it a handkerchief or a napkin? Now, I believe in cross-reference. The King James Version says napkin. The New King James Version says handkerchief. Now, we know, even when you look at the culture of a society, the way you use a napkin and the way you use a handkerchief is two different ways. We tend to use a handkerchief for perspiration, or if you like my grandmama, she always had her handkerchief and it had an extra 6 inches of cloth. If someone came in with the grave clothes on, she could toss it across your lap and cover up some of that extra stuff that was there. Or if it's a napkin, you know that we tend to use our napkins for fine dining. So, fine dining is not unusual. A napkin, some scholars say, well, it wasn't a napkin, it was a handkerchief, because we tend not to have used napkins back then. It was more likely that the believer would have washed his or her hands, or they would have used the bread to cleanse their mouth. But whatever the case, we know that for my Last Supper, there's a tablecloth. Anytime you see a tablecloth, very well may have been a napkin. This is an image to the right of a modern cedar table for Passover. So since we can all use a little bit of hope, and I just want to pause for a moment as we're coming away from the graveyard, back to the tomb. Many families have lost a loved one, and there very well may be an empty seat at the table on this Easter. So our condolences go out to you and your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors who may have lost someone. So as a way of inspiring you to keep on believing, I would like to share with you a poem by Lucinda Berry Hall. And this poem is called The Napkin. My napkin, it is folded. I'm not finished here. I'm still serving. I'm still waiting for my master to appear. The napkin on a table, folded by the plate, tells the servant clearly, I'll be back, so please wait. Jesus's napkin, it was folded, the one laid across his face, separate from his grave clothes, a message to embrace. Jesus wasn't finished. The cross was not the end. He rose from death and gives us life when we choose to follow him. Lucinda Berry Hall. John 20:8. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. Do you believe? Will you be a witness? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. John 20:29. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.
Cry for the cold, we are all
May the glory of our Savior strengthen you, and may his graces shine upon you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Amen. Thank you, Minister in Training Bowen. That was a blessing. And we can now appreciate even more the resurrection of Christ, Jesus our Lord. And I'd like to say we have a few minutes before we go into our next presenter. And you may have a question or comment that you would like to ask or something you would like to say. And while you're formulating your questions, perhaps for Minister in Training Bowen, or just a comment you may have, I would like to share a few things. On our six miracles, you know, the two miracles we're talking about this evening are on resurrection ground. We started out, and I don't know if you have your flyer in front of you or the six miracles on a sheet of paper or something, but the first miracle, if you remember, it was the miraculous darkness. That's how we started. And that happened on what we call Good Friday today, the day we commemorate. And it got dark. And Ms. Holmes told us about that. But at the end of the darkness, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil was rent. And these six miracles are connecting one to another, each one a miracle. And the veil was rent from top to bottom. Access to God granted, the sacrifice received. And there was a miraculous earthquake when Jesus died. And when that earthquake happened, what was one result? It was miracle of the graves were opened. The open graves. And all of that happened on Good Friday. The darkness, the veil rent, the earthquake, the opening of the graves, each one miraculous. But Sister Minister Karen Bowen, she told us something that happened on resurrection morning. And on resurrection morning, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. Now, I need you to think about that, not just right now, but ponder that. You know, as Christians, we can get the story of Christ can become so familiar with to us that you can lose the wonder of it all. And what Minister in Training Bowen just shared with us, we normally don't hear about those grave clothes. I can't remember really hearing about the grave clothes. You know, it's in the Bible in this verse, but when you think about it, it had to be a miracle, because when they put Jesus in the grave, he died. He was buried bodily. He died buried. Then he arose. Well, which one of us? We've got on our clothes. We're not dead. We have on our clothes, but just imagine that you were. Well, if we were to rise, get up, as Sister Minister Bowen told us about Lazarus, the clothes were still on him. And same with us. We get up now, the clothes are on. But when Jesus arose, and when life, he is the resurrection, and he is the life. And I don't know how it happened. It's a miracle. But when the life of God came into Jesus Christ, it transcended the clothes. He didn't need those clothes, left those right in the grave as evidence that he had arose. He was the glorified Christ. And it is a wonder. It is a miracle. And the Bible says, as our sister has told us, and the Bible says the linen clothes were lying there. Lying there. You know, they weren't crumbled up. They weren't messy. You know, when we take off clothes, they get all crumbled up and messy. And then the cloth about his head, the handkerchief or the napkin around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together. in a place by itself. And you think about, well, the head is here, the body is here. And when Jesus came forth, the clothes were left there as evidence he is not here. If they would have stole this body, which is how Minister Bowen let us know about the theory of the stolen body, well, they wouldn't have taken time to take his clothes off of him. You know, an enemy wouldn't have taken his clothes off of him, and they certainly wouldn't have put him in place. And if it was friends who came to get the body, they wouldn't have unclothed him. They wouldn't have made him naked. This is the resurrection life of Christ when he arose from the dead. It is a wonder. And he transcended the clothes. And Minister Dr. Vaughn told us on last week, it's just like that resurrection life. Didn't have to go through a door, doesn't have to open the door, didn't need anyone to roll away the stone. Life. So I just want to say this is a miracle, the grave clothes, undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus Christ. Are there any comments or questions on this topic, anyone?
Minister Bowen, Minister, that really blessed my heart. You really made the word come alive. That you did a wonderful job. And I love your word, pericope.
To God be the glory, Dr. Vaughn. Bless you.
I actually used that in a play that I wrote, but the student who played that, who had that word to say, left that word out because he couldn't say it.
Amen. Well, Dr. Vaughn, I will add a comment. You wanted a gift card for the night for the first comment, Starbucks. So leave your information with Sister Velma, and you're going to be getting a Starbucks gift card.
Well, you win. God bless you.
I didn't know it.
God, thank you so much. Thank you. I love
thank
Starbucks.
You. God bless you. God
thank you, Minister Bowen.
Thank you. Anyone else? On the miracle of the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. Evidence he's not here.
Oh, this is Jackie. I just wanted to say thank you so much, sis. That was such a blessing. And to know that he did not mess with those grave clothes, but that they were folded, says a lot more to me than what you just said. It really
Amen.
Does. Because other things came to my mind as you were saying that, as far as those clothes being folded. So thank you so much. I was not unclothed, but clothed in the word. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. To God be the glory, sister. Thank
to God
you.
Be the glory. And the cloth, the shroud, it wasn't folded. It was just laying there. You know, undisturbed, just he came through that shroud. But the napkin was folded. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes.
This is Sister Maxie. The part that I really received from Pastor Boyne, Minister Boyne, is that he left it knowing that he was going to return to receive it. That's the part that really stood out for me, is that he's coming back.
To God be the glory.
Right. And he's coming back for those that believe.
Amen.
And yeah, he's not coming back to walk this earth again. He's already done that. He's okay. Coming back to receive his believers.
Amen.
And
glory be to God.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Glory be to
awesome.
God.
Awesome.
He got up. Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're going to move on now to the second miracle for tonight, which also happened on resurrection morning. It will be presented to us by Overseer Charles Maxie, Revivals to Life in the Calvary Graveyard. And that is quite the miracle, full circle. And this is our hope, you know, because Jesus got up. Thank you, Jesus. We can get up if we're in Christ and get up in the first resurrection. So let me tell you a little bit about Overseer Maxie. Now, I met him and his wife, I don't know how many years ago, but I met them through Sister Marion Freeman and her husband Michael, as well as through Bishop Tyler. But let me read to you some about Overseer Maxie. Overseer Maxey wants us to know that he joined the Church of the Living God at age 15. Although God always had a presence in his life, it was at that point that he started his own individual relationship with God. He answered God's call to preach the gospel in 1989, and he was ordained in the Church of the Living God in 1993. God has kept his heart faithful to the church where he has served for 40 years. Believing in God's plan, he accepted the position and has been pastoring the Church of the Living God in Wichita, Kansas from 1995 till now, 36 years. Knowing in his heart that this was the role God would lead him in, he dedicated his time and gifts to the Wichita community by serving in several positions, such as president of the Wichita Ministerial League, member of the Sunflower Action Group, advisory board member for the Lord's Diner, and currently serves as chaplain for the Wichita Police Department. He's been blessed to serve as a Christian education teacher on the national level for 7 years. In 2005, he was appointed acting overseer of the Seventh Episcopal Diocese, which led to his appointment as overseer for 15 years. He has had the honor of serving as armor bearer for the late Chief Bishop Robert D. Tyler. With God's help, the greatest path he has traveled has been his role as husband, father, and grandfather. He has been married to Minister Rhonda Maxey for 36 years. They have raised 7 wonderful children and are proud grandparents to 13 grandchildren. God has continued to keep faithful the scripture he gave him years ago from 1 Timothy chapter 3. God has shown him that it is his time to seek fulfillment for what God has promised to him. So we want to welcome this evening Minister Overseer Charles Maxey, presenter number 6, Revivals to Life in the Calvary Graveyard. Amen.
Say, first of all, give honor to God and thank him for again allowing us to see this day. We always start off by saying he's worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. His name is worthy to be praised. We thank God for, again, this platform of Zoom allowing us to come together for such a wonderful conference. And Sister Velma Sanders, we thank you for your vision and thank you for sharing out of the treasures of your devotion and turning it into a three-week conference. To all of the other presenters, we thank you for all of your presentations of this wonderful book, Unveiling the Story of the Resurrection, the 6 Miracles of Calvary, William R. Nicholson, updated in today's language by Dan Schaefer. Mine is the 6th miracle. We know that 6 is the number of man. The Bible says that God created everything in 6 days, and the last thing he created was man. I believe that he created man last so that man would not take any credit for anything that God has done. So you know what to say to a man when he says it's man-made. It's not man-made. Everything was already here for him. All right. So as we get into this 6th miracle, it is somewhat one that has not given much scripture. It is very short in its description. It does not give us detail of exactly what happened with the saints after they got up out of the grave, but we just want to visit it. And again, we want to say to you that technology is not running smoothly. We already did a test run with this, but it's okay. We're going to continue going on, and maybe the slide will catch up. Reading from the King James Version, Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints were which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. If I was to exegese the text, I would try to come up with who the saints were. I would have probably talked about Anna, who waited on the consolation of Israel, serving in the temple, who had recently died. I would probably, pull together a few others. We've already visited Lazarus in our session, which lived only a few miles away in Bethany. And you know that Bethany was that place of Lazarus' resurrection, but it also was that place where Christ ascended unto heaven. But we're not going to do that, because this book clearly defines to us that there was not much given of the explanation, but it allowed us to know that this was a resurrection of the saints. I want you to take note of this. It says, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. It is very interesting that it did not say that the graves were open and bodies just started walking around the holy city of Jerusalem, but it specifically said the saints. So when we look at this six miracles of Calvary, the sixth miracle tells us that, first of all, there had been a developed relationship with Christ. There had been some type of relationship that had been established, that they believed God and believed his report, just as, Abraham believed what God told him. The Bible said, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so we have to look at this sixth miracle, which is amazing, because after all that has happened, the first five miracles was awesome. Here we see one that connects us oftentimes in our society, even in our relationship within the church. One of the pinnacles of our faith is the cross. The cross is a symbol of Christianity, which is really interesting, because at this point in history, the cross is the most recognized symbol in all the world. If we're talking about a brand, the cross is still the most recognized symbol in all the world, followed by Coca-Cola. Pretty soon, if Amazon Prime keeps it up, it might come in a close third. But the cross has always been looked to, and importantly that it has been, because the cross served as, if you will, an altar, so that the sacrifice that would ultimately change the world happened on the cross. But most people, even in the ecumenical community, fail to look beyond the cross. You remember in the book of Acts, Aquila and Priscilla had to pull Apollos over to the side and had to give him more instructions. He could preach fully up until the cross, but he could not preach beyond the cross and deal with the resurrection. We understand that because of the cross, the Bible says that Jesus bore your iniquities on the cross. Our iniquities are cleansed because, amen, God is the source of, amen, our deliverance. But as we go forward past the cross, I want you to know that it's breaking news that they buried Christ, but the Bible says that he got up, and that's good news. Even though it is a very difficult topic for some, but it's very easy for the believer that Christ got up. So it's breaking news that the cross, even though it is the pinnacle of our faith, we look to the cross
We have to understand that we have to go past the cross. And the breaking news is that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. And because he has risen, because he now lives, the sixth miracle that we're talking about is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he lives, we now too have an opportunity to come to Jesus just as we are, even in the midst of all of our sin and unrighteousness. And the Bible says that if we will come to him, he will in no wise cast us out. So he is risen. He is risen. And with his resurrection, it brings not only hope, but with his resurrection, it gives us the understanding that even though we fear death, the Bible says that death is the enemy of man. But we have to remember what is the reason for death. The Bible says that human sin was the source of death. But what is the source of life? God alone is the source of life. There are three words that are used in the Greek for life. I wish I had time to break it all down, but the one that I want to deal with tonight is Zoe. Because we think about death all the time. It's all around us as we see the biological part of us is breaking down. Even the scripture says that in the midst of life, we are in death. But I need for you to understand that in the midst of all of the chaos and the decay that you see around us, that it is more to us than just the biological, but we also are spiritual. So as we look to the sixth miracle, we find that that the Lord God is, of course, gone somewhere where we all have to go, unless God comes before we all die. The Bible says that we all, those who are born of a woman must surely die. But the Lord, as David said, is my shepherd. When David said the Lord is my shepherd, what he said is that he's not a king or someone that is afar off and I have to search for him. But he said he's my shepherd. He is somebody that is caring and providing for me. And because he's my shepherd, he goes before me, as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my shepherd has already given me the peace that he has overcome all of the enemies that are around me. Matter of fact, as he shifts from the Lord being his shepherd, he talks to us about the Lord being a great host, that he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Why did I bring this out? Because Jesus Christ, the Bible says, because he descended, he also was going to ascend, but he went to the grave. So he never will allow you to go anywhere that he is not already gone. When he went to the grave, the Bible says that he took something. He took the sting. He took the victory of the death and the grave. He took the keys of hell. And so now, because the shepherd of our souls has all power, we don't have to fear death, the biological death, because we understand that our relationship with God goes deeper than that. So the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. I wonder how many of you believe in the resurrection. There is something that just has been released in the news, the CDC and CNN. They talk about this new zombie thing. There's something talking about the brain is starting to continue to function even after every other vital sign in the body has gone. So we know that even biologically, we are decaying, but there's something about us that is going to continue on. So let's look at this. John 5:24 and 26 says, I tell you the truth. Whosoever hears my words and believe him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. That's great news for us, because all we have to do is believe that the God that we serve has already placed in us something that will keep us from dying. Now again, remember, when we talk about Zoe, we talk about the natural life, the principle that enables living things to move and to grow. We know that at some point we will lose our animation, right? Biologically. But I want you to know that we will never lose our animation when it comes to the Spirit. Amen. Because the Spirit that dwells in us, the Word of God says it quickens us. It makes us alive. So let's look at some statements of faith from the Old Testament saints. If a man die, shall he live again? That's the question. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job 14:14. Job said this as he is dealing with anguish and pain. Some may think that Job just had faith that God would restore his biological life, his healing, his possessions, as we see in another Greek word, bios. But he was not talking about that. Job was looking for a future resurrection. He was looking for a future hope. He said, after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Job knew that there was going to be a transformation. Now, speaking of transformation, I want you to know that God has something more in store for us, but we can't see it. And the reason why we can't really grasp it or even believe it is because we deal too much with sight. But the Bible says that they who believe, we don't operate on our sight, but we operate on our faith. So the just shall live by their faith. Let's look at another Old Testament. The prophetic word from the Old Testament multiplies. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. We see Daniel in Daniel 12:2, when he says this, we're going to hear the same words uttered by Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at this, there's something that we notice, that everlasting life is to those who believe. But when we look at the other side, if you do not believe, it says others to shame and everlasting contempt. Remember, there is going to be a getting up, if you will. Everyone's going to get up. But where you get up is what we're talking about. So when we look at these saints who were walking around the holy city of Jerusalem, the Bible says that they who were asleep arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. When they appeared, people knew who they were. I believe that they were recognized because of the faith that they had before they died. The Bible says that not only do you live, but when you live for Christ, that you're going to, when you die, you're going to rest from your labors, but your works are going to follow you. The righteous, the saints, they were recognized. Okay. On the graph here, there's a few questions that have been asked, And unfortunately, the scripture nor the book answers these questions. The first question is, who were they? The second question is, how many were there? And where did they go? Where did they go? This is the question. If you notice that I have a lot of safety pins stuck all over the paper, right? I'll get to the point of the safety pins and the push pin or the sewing needle a little later. But I want you to understand that this was a resurrection of the saints of God. But it was not the resurrection. It was not the great resurrection, but it was a foreshadowing to those who were present that Jesus not only said and did exactly the way he said he was going to. He said, you know, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it back up again. He said it metaphorically to them. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will build it back up again. And they accused him of blasphemy. But it not only pointed to his word being true for that moment, but it gave us a future hope of a resurrection that one day all of the believers will get up and will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians says it to us. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that sleep, that slept. For since by man come death, by man come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at the coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so when we look at the general resurrection, we know that we are going to change. The Bible says we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that this, what I said, biological body, this corrupt body, is going to have to change. It's going to put on, as the word of God says, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when we look at the sixth miracle, we see that Christ arose with power. He arose, and not only did he arise from the grave, but the Bible said all the graves were opened and the saints got up and their bodies were, and they were bodily, and they walked around the holy city. Now, is it interesting for me to talk to you right now about the resurrection, because most people are only looking for this general resurrection. And so if I was to sum this general resurrection up in a simplicity, I want you to look at the screen right now. There are three types of pins. There is a safety pin. It closes so that you don't get stuck by it. there is the needle, if you will, the sewing needle, that, you know, your grandmother or you used to, you know, sew garments together with. It has an eye so that you can thread the thread through the eye and the thread follows. But I want you to look at the stick pin. The stick pin is uniquely different because the stick pin has a head. And I want you to know that the Bible says to us that Christ was laid in the tomb, a borrowed tomb by Joseph Arimathea. And Christ is our head. He is the head of the body. We are his body. The Bible says that when they put Christ in the grave, if you will, just go with me for a minute in my imagination, that the body of Christ cannot go anywhere Christ has not gone. But there's something interesting about that stick pin. When you push a stick pin in, even though the whole body is buried, the head will not allow you to go so far down. It will keep you from going all the way down. And so when God reached down and grabbed the head Christ out of the grave, when he pulled the head out of the grave, the body followed. So it is symbolic to us to know that Christ is arisen from the grave. And so the grave cannot hold the child of God. And so when we look at the analogy of the stick pin and the head is just like the analogy that we have over in Ephesians chapter 4. It tells us that we are the body of Christ, jointly fitted together. But I want you to understand something as we go about our days and our activities here on earth. We oftentimes try to place leaders over the church, leaders over the community, leaders over the government. And I believe that's where we err, because we have one head, and the head is Christ Jesus. And he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercessor for us. And so when we look to the resurrection, before we get to the general resurrection, we ought to look into the resurrection of our relationship with God. Because if you do not have a relationship, a personal relationship with God, you will not have, amen, a place in the general resurrection. Listen to me now. It is vitally important for us to understand that the resurrection of Christ not only resurrected his body and the bodies of the saints, but it gave us the ability to call on him, to ask him to come into our lives. That's the reason why the apostle says in Romans chapter 10, he says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So it resurrects us to lives of holiness. What in your life needs to be resurrected? Your relationship with God, your devotion to him, your love for him. It will resurrect your love for people, your love for life, and understand that when you are a child of God, that, listen, you don't have to worry about the biological death, because you have already obtained eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So I'm going to leave you with this. The scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In order for us, amen, to live victorious, we have to recognize that Christ has already conquered over death, hell, and the grave, and he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and I. And if we need wisdom, we need to ask him. He will give it to us. If we need grace, his strength, all we have to do is ask, and he will give it to us. And this sixth miracle speaks to us to let us know that regardless of how it looks, no matter what people have buried, no matter what people try to do to you or say to you, understand this, that you are more than just biological. You are a spiritual being, and there is a resurrection. But you are a resurrection, because if you have already embraced Christ and you have accepted salvation, he has raised you from the spiritually dead to life everlasting. So remember, the word of God is powerful, more sharper than any two-edged sword. And I want you to know that it quickens, it brings you to life. And so we want to leave you with the understanding that, listen, it does not matter what you think. We don't have to debate whether or not the saints, they died again or whatever. We don't even have to go into that. This is clear evidence that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in him shall never die. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God keep you. Sister Velma, we want to thank you for this opportunity for sharing. We want to thank all those of you who joined us on this Zoom. And truly, we want to say that the six miracles of Calvary reawakens what we have already experienced in our own lives, that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of mankind, and that no matter what anybody else says today, we're going to trust him. Because all of the religious leaders, I can go down this list that I have. They have graves, and they have monuments, and people go to see their bodies. But when you go to the tomb of Christ Jesus, it is empty, because he is risen and he lives. And I know he lives because he lives in me. God bless you. And God keep you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a miracle. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask for comments and questions, and I'll start out. I had never heard the analogy of the pins, but I love that. Mm-hmm. And that straight pin, thank you for giving that illustration. And I like to talk about, we know we're celebrating Resurrection Sunday. We had to go through Calvary to get to resurrection. And we did that with the miraculous darkness and came on up. But when Jesus rose from the dead and those undisturbed grave clothes, but then miracle 6 lets us know Jesus didn't get up by himself. He brought up some saints with him. And if you remember on last week, I talked about that sample cake that my mom used to give me when I was a kid. She'd bake a cake before the icing was put on, cut off a slither and give it to me and my brother. And I see this revivals to life as a preview of things to come. And when Jesus got up, it didn't say all the saints got up, but many of them did. And we know We've got to go through the way of death unless the Lord chooses for us to go in the rapture. I always say plan on dying. But thanks be unto God if we're in Christ. And this is why I love that straight pin, that head being Jesus. And wherever the head goes, the body follows. And some of you have heard me say this, And God has put so many analogies in the earth. But one analogy of the parable of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus is every time we lay down, every time we lay down, it's a type of death. And then we go to sleep, and we're, for all intents and purposes, buried. We don't have a clue what's going on. But then the Lord wakes us and resurrects us, as it were. It's a parable. Happens to everybody, saved and sinner, proclaiming the gospel every time they lay down, go to sleep, and wake up. So everybody's got to come up. But then the Lord showed me, you try getting up without that head getting up first. You might kick that leg out of the bed, but you ain't going nowhere till the head gets up. And as the head is, whatever's in that head is coming up. And that's the importance of you must be born again. You just got to be in Jesus if you're going to get up in the first resurrection. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you, Minister Overseer Maxie, for talking about the revivals to life in the Calvary graveyard. And I want to open it up to anyone who has any comments or questions to Overseer Maxie, or just in general over this entire session of the six miracles of Calvary. Amen.
Sister Velma, this is Sister Pearl Sams. I just say, I know you, you might not know me, and I thank God for you.
Praise the Lord.
That he has dwelled within you to give us these six miracles.
Thank you.
And you are a miracle yourself for sharing the word. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory.
Bless you, Sister Velma. This is Pastor Watson. I just was just so at awe with both minister in training, Karen Bowen. I mean, my wife's name is Karen. Now she said, Miss Sister Bowen, you now my favorite. You're my second favorite Karen. Now. Dr. Professor Overseer Charles Maxie, man, I as the sanctified folks said, I almost did the sanctify after preaching this word, man. I tell you what, it got down to my soul. I appreciate the word that you preach on today, man. Man, you preach that word from another preacher to preach. You preach that word, man.
Amen. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Overseer Maxie is my best half. And I just thank God for him. I'm also with you, Sister Sanders, when you talked about the head of the pen. You remember when we were kids, they used to have that little saying, the head bone is connected to the neck bone. The neck bone is connected to the shoulder bone. Uh-huh. And all God's children were going to get along. And it just makes me realize that God is our head. And without that head, we can't move our members like we should. Amen. If we don't follow the head of God. And if he is our head, then we are going to be led in the right direction. But when we stop trying to follow the head, we will find that our feet are going to the left, to the right, and we find ourselves going in totally the opposite direction in which God is trying to move us. And he was kind of showing me some of his illustrations, and I was getting it, but tonight I got it.
Amen. Amen.
I totally got it, and I'm so grateful that he allowed God to use him in this capacity. And I again thank you and Mama Marion for even thinking to ask him to be a speaker on these miracles, because he has let his light so shine before men that he can glorify his Father who is in heaven. And I just thank everybody for being a part of these miracles, because it has really did something to my soul to listen over the 3 weeks of everybody sharing their testimony on the miracles.
Amen.
And I just thank God for being a part of this.
Amen. And I'm going to open up to other comments as well, but I want to say this. This, we know we're celebrating the death of Christ, his burial, and his resurrection. But it's also when he got up, he is the first fruits. Mm-hmm. So it's first fruits Sunday as well.
Amen.
Jesus being the head, but he brought up some first fruits along with him. Mm-hmm. And if there's a first, we gonna follow. You know, there's gonna be some others coming on up. Mm-hmm. But he is the first, and he brought up that sample cake, as it were, first fruits. So it's not only happy Easter, happy resurrection, but Amen. It's also happy first fruit Sunday.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Brother Overseer, I would just like to say to you, to God be the glory. Thank you for allowing God to use you on this evening to close us out, because I felt like it was revival on night one, but you really brought it on home. So I look forward to hearing from you again, maybe on a platform together, just if I have to come to Wichita. But God bless you, my brother. Thank you. And may I have your permission to use those pens?
Yes.
Amen.
I heard the first lady say yes, so I know I'm good to go. Thank you. God bless. Thank you.
Sermon of the pen. And these each session has been recorded. Tonight has been recorded for you to hear again or to share with others. Just the audio, not the videos. Amen. Anyone
Sister
else?
Sister Velma, this is Sister Holmes. Yes. I am here. I'm here.
You are.
I had to buzz in. Minister Boy, thank you for your message and your ministry tonight. And I saved somebody for last, and that's that Brother Charles Maxey. And I wasn't going to say it because you guys will be trying to think that I'm old, but that young man was one of my students. A product of Omaha Public Schools. So, I'll let you know that now, since he did do a good job. So,
Sister Holmes,
praise the Lord. Thank you.
You were my teacher. I had not yet been resurrected.
Praise God.
I was still dead in trespasses and sin. But thanks to your leadership, I made it through.
All right.
Well, it's a beautiful thing. We have a few minutes.
Get in.
But I want to interject this as well. Each of our six presenters are here tonight. And I want to thank God for that. We labored and we worked and we prayed. Everyone prepared. And you could tell each one of the presenters prepared and prayed. We sweated together over Zoom, most of us. But we're learning and God is with us. And the main thing is that Jesus was glorified. So our six presenters, we just heard from Sister Lily Holmes. God bless you, Sister Lily Holmes. When I first presented this to her, she said, let me pray about it. Didn't take her long, but it took a couple of days. You know, you got to pray. And she came back and she said yes. And she knew exactly what topic she wanted, the miraculous darkness. And she's with us this evening. And I want to say thank you, Sister Holmes. We say thank you. And then Pastor Demetrius Watson is with us this evening. And I met his wife first, Sister Evangelist Karen. And Pastor Watson, when I asked, he just willingly, once he got my email, he said, yes. And then I believe Pastor Watson said, what topic do you want me to have? And God gave him the rending of the veil. And he brought it. And I want to say thank you. And it was my first time hearing Pastor Watson bring the word. I was blessed. Thank you very much. And then Minister Jacqueline Reed, she's with us, I believe. I don't see her picture. But
yes.
Yes, amen. Minister Jacqueline Reed, we go back, way back. She reminds me of when she was about 4 years old. And I would pick her up. And so she's been in my life for years. We haven't seen each other for many years. But Sister Minister Jacqueline Reed, God gave her an assignment on the miraculous earthquake. And she told us about the miraculous earthquake. Thank you, Minister Reed. And then Reverend Dr. Vaughn, who I met through the radio. And God brought us together. And when I asked him, he said, Velma, because he just calls me Velma, which is my name. And by the way, when he writes an email, he says, Velma, I can't get in Zoom. Velma, what do I need to do, Velma? So that happened one evening, the first session. But anyway, Dr. Vaughn said, I'll speak on whatever topic you give me. And God gave him the miracle of the open grace, and we were blessed. And I want to say thank you. And then tonight, to close us out on resurrection ground, we started in the darkness, but God brought us to resurrection ground with tonight, Minister in Training, Karen Bourne. Thank you, Minister Bourne. Beautiful, beautiful. We were blessed. And she knew exactly what topic she wanted. She knew from day one, the undisturbed grave clothes of Jesus. Amen. And then finally, Overseer Charles Maxey, and he was recommended to me through Marion Freeman, Sister Marion Freeman. Because I'd be asking the Lord, Lord, who do you want to speak? And whoever it is, he knows how to get it to us. And so God said, Overseer Charles Maxey.
Okay.
And Charles Maxey told us about miracle number 6. So I just want to say thank you to each one of the presenters. Wonderful. I couldn't have asked for a better group of 6. God gave the 6. Amen. We have 3 minutes if there's someone else.
I did. I wanted to say something. Overseer Maxey, first of all, I want to say congratulations to Dr. Vaughn and his grandchild.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But to Overseer, yes. And to Overseer Maxey, thank you, because now I can walk away knowing that, well, one of the sisters had kind of shared my sentiments as I was getting ready to say, and I said that was exactly what I was going to share. So to the sister that shared her sentiments, thank you. But to add to that, when you mentioned that the brain is even has activity afterwards, now I'm going to be thinking about all of this, because the headship has brought all of this word together, and I appreciate everything, because it's given me a different outlook on the cross and his resurrecting power and the power that we have and how it affects my life and how much more we can move forward in the word, because we know that with the head we are able to do any and everything. So thank you again. To all of the speakers, thank you so much. I have been touched by each and every one of your anointed words.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Well, then someone else.
There's a hand raised and a question in the
chat. Go ahead, hand raised.
It was me?
No.
Catherine Murphy?
Go ahead, Mom.
Yes, good evening. This is Eula McHale, which is Overseer Maxey's auntie. And I, whenever I get a chance, I like to tell him how proud I am of him. You know, we live through his coming up, and then to see him, you know, being the overseer or the pastor that he is, we are just so proud of him. Mm-hmm. And this is his cousin also, Rhonda. We follow him and everything that he tries to do, because we know it's worth it, okay? And we are proud of him, and we're proud of Rhonda. I tell him, I can't remember, Harley, who is the nephew and who is the niece. I mean, she's been with us so long also, until I don't even disconnect that situation at all. They're one as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm just proud of him, and I just want him to know it. I thank him and everybody else for inviting us to the program, because we were kind of late getting in, but it was worth every minute of it. Yeah. And I thank you guys very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's 7:59, and I do like to end on time. So I just want to end by saying thank you, each one who shared in any way, to make this 6 miracles of Calvary a success. This is the God's Word Alive Bible teaching ministry, but actually there's only one ministry.
Yes.
And that's, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So
this ministry comes up under Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's 8:00. Who said that? Somebody getting ready to
my computer will kill you. It's 8:00.
Oh, okay. So thank you. Thank you to everyone, to each one of the presenters. May God's hand of blessing rest upon you, and may he use you more and more for his glory. And then to everyone who came, and everyone's not with us this evening, but to all who came to hear about Jesus, really, it was to hear about Jesus. I thank you for coming to hear about him. And I know that his word didn't go out void. It will accomplish whatever it is that he pleases. And so thank you to each one of you. I encourage you to continue to keep me in prayer and the God's Word Alive Bible Teaching Ministry. I will keep you in prayer as well. I'm going to ask Overseer Maxie if he would close out this evening, as well as this series on the six miracles of Calvary, if he will give us the benediction and close us out. Amen. Amen.
Pray or just give the benediction. I'm sorry.
Either one, either however God leads you.
I want to be instructions. So, first of all, the psalmist says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Yes.
Lord, we know that you are the giver of life. You are the source of life. You also are the source of eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for being the source of vitality of the believer, because you said that you come that we might have life, life. And have it more abundantly.
Yes,
Lord. Thank you for this resurrection week and this resurrection month that we have reflected on what you have done for us.
Thank you.
And Lord, revive us.
Revive us, Lord.
Lord, allow us to lift up our heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And you said that you are the King of glory, that you will come in, Lord. We invite you in to our lives. Let us change from this moment forth. Lord, we ask that we just look to you and that we would do everything that you would require of us, that we too may be able to lift up our eyes and say, Lord, you are our head.
Yes,
wherever you go, we will follow.
Yes, yes.
And so, Lord, we just thank you again for your servants being obedient as she has placed on our hearts this endeavor that we have come together on this Good Friday
and
the Fridays that preceded this one to reflect on what you have done.
What you have done. Yes.
And Lord, it has been marvelous in our sight.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise.
Yes.
And we understand why the S-U-N refused to shine when you were hanging on the cross, because you are the S-O-N.
Oh,
and Lord, we thank you, God. We just thank you. We love you.
We love
you. And we just ask that you would just keep everyone under the sound of my voice.
Yes, Lord.
In your perfect peace.
Yes.
In your care.
Yes,
this is our prayer. Amen. Amen. As the benediction from the book of Jude, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And some have compassion, making a difference. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Yes.
The only wise God, our Savior, glory and majesty, dominion
and power,
both now and forever. Heart say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen from the dead.
Well, I say that benediction all the time, but it got me fired up tonight.
Hallelujah. God bless everyone.
Amen. God bless.
God bless everybody.
Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.
Happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
God bless everyone. Gotta go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.